Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the October 5 edition of Commodity Week. Next week, USDA will release what many feel may be the most important crop production and WASDE reports of the growing season. We'll preview them today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures from Memphis, Tennessee. Our panelists today include Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises from Mandeville, Louisiana, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming. Or you can follow us on Twitter at Commodity Week. It's all about the service from willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. We'll get, of course, to the reports that are due out next week in a moment, but let's deal with December 13 corn of next year, that is, 2013. It's just 40 cents off its life of contract high. Should I consider hedging 10%? We'll start with you, Jackie Vakes.
Well, it's funny that you asked that, Todd, because I think I got asked that question about 10 times in the last 2 days. My position is this. We are far from out of drought conditions, and we had an awful lot of people who took cash positions and did hedging early on. I think that you have to be very careful about that. So the position I've been taking is using a put strategy position. Gives me downside protection in case we do plant a lot of acres, and yet gives me upside opportunity.
Bill Mayer?
I don't think it's going to hurt you to sell a little bit around $6 cash has been my target over the last few months, and they've gotten some done there, but we're not quite there yet. We probably need to move the market up about 20 cents or so in this area to get that number. I think you can be a little bit patient right now, but, you know, if you can get in that $6 cash area, the equivalent of it, I don't think it hurts to hedge some small amount.
And Dan Zwicker.
I don't think I'd do any hedging. If I was going to do some selling, I'd just go ahead and do it and do a cash forward contract.
Let's take a look at next week's numbers as USDA will report them out on Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. Both the crop production and WASDE figures are due out for the month of October. In Informa this week, Bill Mayer released some numbers on Friday that were a little bit stunning, I guess. They find the corn crop to be about an 11.194 crop. They think that's what USDA will come out on next week. But their final number is an 11.147. Both those numbers, of course, are well up from the USDA September estimate of 10.727 billion bushels for total production. How'd you see that inform a figure?
Well, I guess the thing that struck me when I saw that today was the acres, and I think the acres are going to be the key really to the report next week on the corn. It looks to me like that figures out to about 88 million harvested acres, which is actually higher than USDA had on their last report. I know there's some, including Informa, that are looking at higher planted acres, but I just don't see how there can't be some bigger amount of silage cutting this year, maybe a couple of times to three times as much silage cut as what we've had in past years. And that harvested acre number, I think, has to be somewhere down in that 84 million acres.
Well, I looked at them and I said, you know, okay, so we're seeing a higher production number. What number are they using for an ending stock? Because ending stocks is still the most important number. So I made a few phone calls, and they're in that 600 million area for an ending stock. So if that's the case, you know, they're expecting that we're going to see a lot more usage, and this number really doesn't mean very much. You know, that's still the key. When you look back and you roll back a couple of USDA reports, USDA chopped out almost 1.5 billion in usage on corn. And so, you know, the opportunity to see that come back in is certainly here.
Is Jackie right, Dan? Is it all about the ending stocks number?
Well, I suppose at the end of the day, it's the ending stocks number. But, you know, you got to keep in mind, Informa will be Informa. They have to create some excitement in their reports to justify people paying a high dollar for their services because they are one of the big guns in the industry. So they do have to attract attention. I can buy the idea that they're is maybe some larger plantings based upon the way I interpret the certified acreage numbers. But I guess I'm kind of more in Bill's camp that I think harvested acres are going to be a little smaller. It's when you look at past droughts and even and then this year, here's one of the worst ones we've had since 1988. My guess is that the unharvested acreage is going to be a lot higher than probably what Informa's using. But, you know, Informa's been wanting to be a bear on corn from the get-go all year long. So, you know, I think they got a built-in bias to try to keep the number. You know, they just think the numbers are higher.
Yeah, USDA's current yield is 122.8 bushels to the acre. Dan, which direction do you think they'll change it, if at all?
Well, it's interesting. If I guess before I answer that question, I mean, you take a look at F.C. Stone's survey. Now, I know they go about it differently than what Informa does, but they came pretty close. They were pretty close on the beans within 50 million bushels or so. But in the F.C. Stone survey came closer to what USDA was at, and you know, Informa stands out there as kind of the outlier. And I guess my guess is the yield is pretty close to where they got it, and I think the acreage adjustments is where all the action's at.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to expect where they're going to come out, but I would agree with Dan. When you look at the state-by-state breakdown and you look at where they are at on that September report, I guess it's hard for me to argue with a lot of them, just, you know, going by the tidbits that you hear and see on and reported yields that you come up with. So I guess I think, you know, a couple of bushel an acre one way or the other wouldn't surprise me, but I think that 121, 122 is pretty close in there.
And I think the only way we'll see any real change is if they really change harvested acres. If they drop harvested acres significantly, we could see a bump in the yield. But otherwise, I'm in agreement with Dan and Bill both. I think we're pretty close.
December corn this week had a...
I don't even think we're really going to know until we see the March 1st stocks number. I think there's so much variability that, the whole complication of harvesting a billion bushels of grain before September 1st, and then we're supposed to have a September 1st old crop corn stocks less than a billion bushels. The question is did we feed 200 to 300 million bushels of the new crop? So my guess is that we're going to be doing a lot of guessing on these government reports, and we're not going to get a lot of stuff cleared up probably until we see the January final.
December corn this week had a high of $7.68.5, the low at $7.46. The settlement price was down 8.75 at $7.48. The life of contract high, by the way, for that one is $8.49. December corn of next year, as you already know, $6.24.25. It was down 6.25. The life of contract high there at $6.65. Are you all satisfied that we've put in both a harvest high and a harvest low?
An old crop we're talking about?
Yeah, December. Yeah. December this year.
After seeing 705, I guess I feel it's a little easier to say we probably put in the harvest low, you know, and especially when you combine the fact that we normally put in our harvest low in November beans right now in October between the 16th, the 4th, and the 16th in the last 4 years. And so it'll be hard for corn to go down significantly if we've actually found the bottom in beans.
I think the odds are very high that we put in the harvest low or the seasonal low here. And as Jackie said, we've done that the last 3 years right around this October 4th or 5th period, it seems like. And we typically have gotten in the last 3 or 4 years a pretty good rise up through like the Thanksgiving period. So I guess that's what I would expect. I think the low's in. I think the high's in too for the season, but you know, things can always happen, and we'll see what happens as we get into the first of the year too.
Before we get Dan's number, you didn't do anything with the high.
I didn't do anything with the high, and I know that 849 number sounds high, but I think that if we get into first quarter and farmers really are hanging on to old crop, which is likely that they will do, I think we could see us bumping up toward the $9 level.
And Dan?
Well, when you look at it from a historical point of view, it's kind of hard to think that you could make a seasonal low of $15 on beans, and I forget what the corn low has been, but I think we don't want to go to sleep. I do like the price action that maybe we're trying to have some kind of recovery from this August, September, October decline that we've kind of been in, I'm a little worried on the demand front on corn, but not so much on beans. Beans look like they're a pretty good, solid shape. But these are some pretty lofty prices, and I don't know. I think the market's lost a lot of its enthusiasm to kind of move higher in here.
November beans this week, speaking of them, $16 for their high, the low at $15.04. So not quite a dollar trading range. Settlement price, dead in the center, $15.51.5. It was down $49.5 from last week. Life of contract high there at $17.89. 13 beans, those are 2013, at $13.21.5, down 16.75. Their life of contract high at $14.09.75. Should farmers hold on to some beans for marketing later in the season, and how much do you think, Bill?
Well, of course, that question always depends on what you've done up to this point. But, yes, I think that you want to end up the harvest season with some beans that you're holding. I guess in my mind, I agree with Dan. I think we have to be careful and be aware of what's going on. But several things here this week were positive, I think. And the biggest one is when you look at the export number, and we're 30 days into the marketing year, and we've got 82% of the expected exports already sold or shipped and or shipped. And to me, that just we basically, it looks to me like have to probably raise that export number by at least 150 million bushel as we move forward here.
You agree with him, Dan, from your perspective? How much higher do you have to raise the export figure, if at all, for soybeans?
Well, we're going to raise it some. I mean, there's definitely demand. But the thing of it is this is such a front-loaded market that, you know, that could all be bullish if you get into South American weather program weather problems, because I know South America farmers are well contracted above levels that they normally do. So there would be some big shorts in the marketplace if we would get into weather problems. But, you know, if everything goes okay in South America, all the focus then will switch to South America very quickly.
And I think the other thing that one of the things that happened this week that says to me that demand for beans is really, really strong is we're seeing the storage rates just basically being raised to levels that are pushing beans across the scale. And anytime you see that happen, I think you have to be aware of the fact that when you're sitting on beans, you may find yourself in a position where they're not going to bring you as much as what you'd like them to do down the road. So you really have to take and put a pencil to where everything is at right now at this point in time before you make that decision.
Wheat this week, an 857.5 settlement price in the December contract. It was down 45 cents. It's high on the LIFO contract is 895. July at 840.25, down 26.75. It's been kind of tough for guys to get wheat sown, whether it's soft red or hard red, either one. Despite that fact, we're off 45 cents in the nearby December and down 26 for next year. Is there life yet for the wheat contract to go higher?
Well, I think there's some life for it to go higher somewhat, but we are up here at some pretty lofty levels. I think we're going to see a lot of acres of wheat planted. Guys don't seem too concerned yet that they haven't got wheat planted. Talking to a couple guys this afternoon, that basically over in towards the Missouri area, we're a little bit too dry to get it in, and we're glad to see this rain. So I think we'll see a lot of acres. I think it's going to be hard for the wheat to rally right now, because of corn and beans holding it back a little bit.
And we'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll talk with John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures. Out of Memphis, Tennessee, our panelists include Jackie Vakes, Bill Mayer, and Dan Zwicker.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. It was another cool week across Illinois with temperatures about 2 degrees below normal. The only significant rain this week was in a band across central Illinois along and north of Interstate 72 with amounts of 1 to 2 inches. Otherwise, there was only light and scattered rains across the rest of the state. September was the first cooler and wetter than normal month for 2012 in Illinois. The statewide temperature was 64.6 degrees. That's 1.6 degrees below normal. The statewide precipitation was 4.9 inches, that's 1.7 inches below normal. Areas south of Interstate 80 had monthly totals of 3 to 12 inches. Areas north of Interstate 80 had monthly totals of 1 to 2 inches. Areas east of St. Louis have been exceptionally wet since the beginning of August, with some stations reporting 12 to 18 inches of rain, and most are back to normal for the year. Other parts of the state are not so lucky, with many areas still 8 to 12 inches below normal. The forecast for this weekend is for much cooler temperatures and no rain. On Saturday, highs will be in the 50s across Illinois. Saturday night, lows will be in the upper 20s in the northwest corner of the state and in the 30s for the rest of the state. High Sundays will be in the 50s and lows Sunday night in the 30s. It will be a little warmer during the week with highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s. The next chance for rain is on Tuesday and Tuesday night. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is the October 5 edition of Commodity Week from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson, also from Champaign, Illinois. On the phone line, John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures in Memphis, Tennessee. John, thank you for taking the time with us. I've got a question for you that we asked up front in this program to our other analysts, but I have a little twist for you. How did your soybeans yield this year? And do you have fiscal commodity you're still hanging on to market later on?
My soybean yields were really bad on dry land. One farm I had okay irrigated yields. Another farm we had a frog eye infestation and just a one county in Arkansas where all the fungicides developed, frog eye developed resistance to it. So it was its worst I've ever had. As for holding physical commodities, sold all my corn early and got a little bit in storage that I'm getting rid of as we speak, and beans, because of bad yields, we're just struggling to make our contracts. But in general, the South has had good irrigated bean yields and poor, real poor dry land yields.
Well, let me turn that just a bit. If you had beans that you could be able to market, yet would you hold on to them in that fiscal commodity?
It's hard for me to get bullish on the idea of holding beans at $15.50. I think I would more want to see what the crop report is next week. It's truly 200 million higher than the USDA estimate. Then that takes a lot of froth off the bean market, and the whole thing evolves around South America. So I'd be loath to be a big holder.
John, I guess the obvious question is probably looking at next year and the acreage mix down there. What do you see, especially from the wheat standpoint, and see any big changes as far as the crop mix?
Wheat maybe 15% or so higher. Cotton, a huge decline, maybe 40%. Rice, maybe 20 to 30% down. Up in corn, obviously, a lot. Beans, there's going to be maybe some up, but there's going to be an awful lot of milo planted down here because it does better in drought than dryland beans do. So I think the big emphasis in the South is a huge increase in corn milo acreage.
When you say a huge increase, John, I know when we were down to visit you, you were talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 million acres. Do you think that that's gotten to be bigger?
Oh, I don't think it's any particularly bigger than when we talked, Jackie, but I'm just thinking in general it's going to be a great big acreage. And another thing that's going on is just more and more irrigation is going in, and it's going in for corn.
Yeah, John, I guess the question is looking at that, when does the guy start making his moves on new crop strategies?
Well, I think a lot of us have already made a lot of moves. I'm sitting on about 70% hedge for next year, I'm probably more aggressive than others. But the big farmers down here are already making moves. And I think by the time you hit, say, the 1st of February, it's all over. It's pretty much all done. People are booked wheat, and there's a lot of booking of corn going for next year going on. That's been popular, and even milo has been some of that booked, even though making a basis in milo is a touchy little experience.
How fast would you catch up if you were here in the Midwest and you hadn't made any forward sales for next year?
Fast, super fast. I tell you, now, one thing all of us ought to think about, we had a major crop failure in South America this year. We had a major crop failure in the U.S. this year. We had a major crop failure in Russia and the Ukraine this year. Not so good corn yields in Europe. What happens if we all have normal crops? I think we forget that. And technology marches on. I've bought some shares in some companies that are agricultural producers in Russia and the Ukraine, and now they're moving into irrigation of all things in Russia, which we don't think about. But when you have $6 corn plus and $14, $15 beans, irrigation pays off at an enormous clip. I mean, down here, irrigation pays off in 2 years, which is phenomenal. Never had that.
John, we mentioned the report next week. From your perspective, what do you see yield-wise and production-wise in both corn and beans?
I kind of look for corn to be around the same and beans somewhat higher. I'd be a little bit surprised if 200 higher as Informa and FC Stone talk about. But one thing I'm extremely impressed with is usage. I mean, the corn usage number in the stocks and all positions report was terrific, and there is no liquidation going on in livestock to any degree that I can see. You've actually had broiler chick sets up the last few weeks, and cattle on feed around 100%, and hogs are somewhere around 100%. The fairings probably take it down a percent or two. So there is no liquidation going on in the livestock area.
You know, as we see the harvest coming to the end, John, of which you guys are pretty much finished already for a while, do you think that you know, as we switch hands and ownership switches from the producer to the commercial, do you anticipate that we'll see any deeper cuts in price at all on corn and beans, or do you think we've already found a bottom?
I would feel more comfortable with corn being at bottom because of the lack of herd liquidation than I would beans, because beans are really, you've got the prospect of maybe a much larger U.S. crop, we'll see, and an enormous South American acreage being planted. For instance, Brazil's cotton acreage is supposed to be down 32%, which is somewhere, I'm thinking, the U.S. cotton acreage will be down 3 to 4 million acres, which is a lot. And that's going to grains.
Since you've mentioned the livestock a couple of times, live cattle this week were up $1.50. The feeders were up $1.85. They're at $126.20 and $146.20, respectively. Hogs gained $2.80. They're up almost to what? More than $6.50 for over the 4-week period at $76.55. Will there be a place here where they stop climbing?
I'm intrigued with the hogs because you've got these stories about a worldwide bacon shortage, and there's been some liquidation of hog herds in Brazil and in Great Britain, et cetera. And we've had a fairly hefty hog slaughter last month or so, and the market's gone up in the face of it, which tells me the exports must be coming on. So I don't see any downside to speak of in livestock, personally.
Dan?
Yeah, John, I guess stepping back away from just agriculture and looking at the whole world, what's the most scariest thing out there?
In agriculture or just the whole world?
No, in the whole world.
To me, it's the U.S. bond market. I think the U.S. deficit is just staggeringly. I don't know how we get out of it. We can't pay it off, so we can only print it off. And so I think that scariest thing out there to me is the U.S. bond market. Maybe we have a bubble in the bond market that's far worse than the bubble we had in the housing market.
We discussed early on there, John, bean yields in your area. What were the corn yields in the your area like, and what's happened to it? I know early in harvest we saw some stuff actually coming up into the central part of the state here, I think. Are you seeing elevators that have any inventory, that type of thing, or farmer storing stuff?
Well, we have virtually no on-farm storage down here, so it all moved to the elevators. And the we had the biggest crop ever, highest yield, highest acres, and elevators were just delighted to buy it all. At one point a month ago, we were a dollar under September futures, and now we're basically 10 under December. Right now. So the elevators were storing on the ground, doing everything they can. They loved it. Made a great trade for them. And it was moving north. I don't have any particular idea what it's doing right now.
John, thanks for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it.
I always enjoy it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. John Bondurant is with Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee. Time for a final word from our panelists in studio. And on the phone line, we'll start with you, Bill Mayer.
I think one thing, we're starting to see a little bit of dryness show up in central Brazil. I think keep an eye on that. I don't think it's anything critical yet, but I think the market would be quick to react if we do see it getting worse.
Jackie Vakes?
I think that with the pull down that we recently had, it's time to perhaps look at re-ownership on some of the early sales that you've made or sales that you've been making during harvest.
And Dan Zwicker?
Just continue to be safe and, you know, stay close to the markets and, I guess, fasten your seatbelts for USDA's October crop estimate.
And that wraps up Commodity Week.
Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.